It's amazing, really, when you stop and think about history and you watch history, that the United States is celebrating 244 years. It's a tremendous thing for us to be able to accomplish that and to be able to see that, for us to be able to live in this time to be a part of that. But the foundations, the very foundations, are being questioned and being shaken. I don't know that it's news to anyone that is around that is a very real situation that we face. Some people have said that the very people that are causing all the turmoil and the distress in our country today with the violence and the looting and the breaking of things during protests are the very people that were not disciplined when they were children. They were never told no, and they were never brought to that place of respect of other people, other people's property, the respect that is necessary for authority. And I realize that there are some people in authority that abuse that authority, and those people need to be dealt with and dealt with severely. I don't have any problem with that. But we are finding ourselves in a situation where dads have fallen down. Fatherhood is broken in so many situations and so many circumstances. Now, having said that, it's easy for us to judge somebody from the outside. It's easy for us to judge an article by the headline, or to judge a book by the cover. It's easy for us to judge from the outside. And that goes for the positive as well as the negative. It doesn't matter who it is or where it is or what the circumstances are. What we find it's easy to do is to look at somebody and see something in that person or in those people and automatically come to some kind of a conclusion or a judgment about them without ever realizing why they are doing or how they are living, the reason why that is behind it. I was talking with David and Etta the other day, and most of you people have no comprehension of something that I'm dealing with my own mind right now. You may think of it as being insignificant. And it is rather insignificant, but it still affects the way that I look at things. This coming week, we will be celebrating our 13th year, end of our 13th year here at Wise Ball. 13 years ago, I believe it was on the 9th, that the moving truck backed up to the house from Evansville. 13 years. You say, well, how is that significant to what you're saying? The reason why I bring that up is I have never, ever lived anywhere in my entire life longer than 12 and a half years until now. Prior to that, I had only lived in the same area, but even a fraction of that amount of time, where some of you have never, ever lived anywhere but here. You don't have any comprehension of what I'm thinking, what goes through my mind. You don't have any understanding. Steve Deckard was telling me the other day, some time ago actually, that he has walked into the back door at Velma's. Probably shouldn't say that too loud, but he has walked into the back door of Velma's since he was about 2 years old. So for 70 years, he's walked in the back door at Velma's. I can't even begin. I can't even begin to fathom that kind of thing. For one, I'm not 70. For two, I've never, ever even dreamed of being that long in a place. You see, there's circumstances that around us or in us that make up our story of who we are and what we are. That goes for every single person that's listening today, whether you're here in your vehicle or you're listening on the radio or you might be listening online at some other point. Every single person has a story, and our stories are made up by so many different facets, so differing in those facets all the way around. We judge from the outside. Now, what I want to focus on, what I want to look at this morning towards our fathers, is that we need to understand that we have a responsibility, no matter what our story is, to give a better story to those around us who are under us or looking up to us. You know, most of you know that I like my Dove chocolate, the salted caramel dark chocolate. I like that. And I'm very careful every time I open one to open it so that I can read, don't tear it up, so that I can read what is on the inside, because sometimes they have some good sayings. One recently said, be someone you look up to. Be someone you look up to. Dads, take that to heart. Moms, take it to heart too. Grandparents, take it to heart. Teenagers, take it to heart. Be someone that you can look up to, so that others looking at you can look up to you. It's necessary. It's vital in this day, because we find that fatherhood has been broken. We need to find out a way to redeem fatherhood. I listened recently to Jim Daly, who is the president of Focus on the Family, talk about his story, that shared his story. And his title to that was Redeeming Fatherhood When It's Broken. Jim Daly, if you listen to him, you talk to him, you hear from him, you probably wouldn't have any idea that there's a brokenness from his past. You can go and listen to it. It's on YouTube, I believe. You can find it. Redeeming Fatherhood When It's Broken by Jim Daly. His biological dad was an alcoholic. And for the first 5 years of his life, he lived in a turmoil. He lived in tumult. He lived in a good deal of chaos because of this alcoholic father. When he was five, his mom left and took the kids. She remarried, and when he was about 8 years old, and stepdad dropped the ball as well. For about at 9 years of age, his mom died. And when his mom died, his stepdad, Hank, said, I'm not dealing with this. I'm out of here. And so he said that his real dad dropped the ball, and his stepdad dropped the ball, and he was left to foster care. Only to realize that his foster parents, his foster dad, as he specified, was crazy. Now, he didn't go on to explain what that meant and what that involved, but he said that his foster home was crazy. And so when he was 11 years old, his dad got back into his life, and he moved back with his dad. Mindful that he thought that that was better than the crazy step family, the foster parenting, even though his dad was all this alcoholic problem. But then it was about a year after he moved back in with his dad, his siblings, all of them older than him, came to him and said, "You don't need to be living with dad. You shouldn't be living with dad. You need to go live with your older brother." And then they told him that he was going to have to be the one to tell his dad that he couldn't live with him anymore. Whew, a lot of pressure on a 12-year-old boy. But he told his dad that he couldn't live with him, and his dad said, ask him why. He says, because it's because you're not a good father. You haven't been a good person. I need to get out. And he said, to his dad's credit, he stood up and gave him a hug, and he said, "You're right. I haven't been a good husband, and I haven't been a good dad." And he went to live with his brother, and 4 months later, his dad died. And Now, some of the things that he told in his story, some of the highlights in his story, one of them was when he was in younger years and his dad was only in and out of his life, just a little bit of picture here and there in his life. But at one point, his dad had promised him something that he didn't follow through with. And his friend, his best friend, said, "Jim, it's all right. Dads don't always keep their promises. Dads don't always keep their promises." And as that struck home to him, as that began to settle in upon him, he realized that he was in that very situation where his dad wanted to do better, his dad wanted to do good, but he wasn't capable of following through with his promises. And every single man in Jim's life, he said, struck out at the plate. Every single one of them struck out at the plate. But he determined in his life that it was going to be different with him. Now let me tell you, there's a lot of people today that have broken past that are saying within themselves that it's going to be different with them. They have two choices. Every single one of us have two choices in any kind of a broken situation of the past. The one choice is that we can be different. We can choose to do something different to be a better person, or we can follow that same path. We can follow a different path, or we can follow the same path. Now you and I know, probably you and I understand, that God's grace is a major factor of the change that can take place in a person's life to make them a better person, to redeem fatherhood when it's been broken. God's grace. Now sometimes God's grace is revealed in the lives of somebody else or through the lives of somebody else. Someone stepped up to help. There's a book that was written a number of years ago. It's been scoffed at. I've never read it. Something about It Takes a Village. Some people scoffed at it simply because of its author. I haven't read it, as I said. But the older I get, the more I realize that the Scripture would indicate to us, and I don't know what the whole subject matter is of that particular book, but I do believe that the Scripture bears out that there is something more than just one person stepping up. That there is this reality that we all need to step up to help somebody else. Jim Daly said that the person that stepped up to the plate for him in the midst of all of the brokenness and in the midst of all the lack of respect, in the midst of all of that emptiness of his childhood, it was his football coach that stepped up and called him out and grabbed him by the face mask and talked to him plainly and spoke to him, called him out, he said. And it dawned on him as he began to watch this football coach and listen to this football coach that here was one man in all of the people of his life that he could respect, that he could listen to. Now my story, my personal story, is somewhat similar. No, my dad didn't fall down and break and collapse at me or strike out at the plate. That's not what the comparison is. I didn't have a stepdad to strike out at the plate. I didn't have a foster dad to strike out at the plate. I didn't have that kind of similarity. But where the similarity is that when I got out from underneath my dad's roof and my dad's overseeing eyes and over out from underneath his protective arm, I needed somebody to step up to the plate. I often wonder what would have happened to me if I would have just gone off as a 17 and a half year old when I moved out of mom and dad's house. If nobody would have stepped up, I wonder where I would be today. I can assure you that I wouldn't be here. I can assure you that I wouldn't be in any pulpit in anywhere in the United States or anywhere in the world. It's very possible that if it hadn't been for Ralph Day, I would have crumbled. I would have fallen through the cracks. But Ralph Day, in so many words, got a hold of my face mask, and he called me out, and he shook me up, and he talked to me, and he spoke to me plainly, and he spoke to me straight, and I looked at him and recognized that here was a man that had my best interest at his heart, and he was concerned about my direction, and he was doing his part to help me be a better person. If it hadn't been for Ralph Day, my dad would not have seen and would not have known and didn't know the directions that I was being pulled in. He would not have understood I wasn't accountable to my dad any longer. And then after I got away from Ralph Day and age and distance began to make us go in different paths and different directions, there was still the need for somebody to step up. And about that time, and in that particular era of my life, it was a man by the name of Bob Leach that stepped up and so many words took me by the face mask, and he shook me and he talked to me and he shared with me and he pointed me in a direction that I needed to go with care and with love, and it was somebody that I could easily learn to respect. Then after, as I was a married man, children were coming into the home, I wonder where I would be. I wonder what would have happened to me. I realized that Ralph Day was good and he was needed in my life. And I realized that Bob Leach was necessary in my life. But there came a point in time when I needed somebody else. And about that time, Phil Harris stepped up. And in so many words, he took me by the face mask and he shook me around and he spoke to me and he talked to me directly. Today, I believe that if I needed somebody to shake my mask, that I could find it even in a man by the name of Don Nichols, who could come up to me and take my figurative face mask and speak to me. You see, it's necessary for God's grace, or in the midst of God's grace, for somebody to step up to the plate. And that's where I want to challenge the men today, the fathers today, the grandfathers today, to step up to the plate, not only for your own children, but for somebody that you're acquainted with that needs somebody to shake them and to take them by the face mask and to share with them that there is a better way. Oh, I know that so many people say it's going to be different for me. But so often those people have no clue how to make it different unless somebody steps in and shakes them and speaks to them and talks to them, giving them the straightforward path. Maybe the men in your life, as it was the men in Jim Daly's life, had problems. Maybe somebody here this morning is broken because somebody let them down. But your life does not have to be a reflection. You do not have to be a reflection of what took place back then. There is a reality of the redemption of fatherhood. We can find a way through the grace of God, through Calvary, to allow the bitterness to set aside. And by allowing that bitterness to be pushed aside or to be washed away, we can become a better person ourselves. And it's necessary for us to step up to the plate to shape another person's life. You've got to be someone that's worthy of respect. Someone who'll point them to faithfulness, the faithfulness of the Father of Heaven. You know, so often when we talk to people that have not been raised in the church, and sometimes we find even people that have been raised in the church, when you talk to them about how wonderful our Heavenly Father is, they have no comprehension. Sometimes we judge them and we say, "Oh, you're just being ridiculous. You're just being rebellious. You're just trying to press your own way." When in reality, if we were to understand the story that is hidden deep within their heart, it would be that they have something that is broken and they don't understand the loving Heavenly Father because they haven't had a loving earthly father. There's my signal. I've got to quit. I don't know if I'm getting it across to you or not, but we find in Scripture where Paul, all through the books of Timothy, the epistles to Timothy, that he's talking to Timothy about being that kind of a person that somebody else can look up to, that somebody else can follow through with. Let me leave you with this passage of Scripture and mark it down in your mind, if not in your Bibles. In the book of Titus chapter 2 and verse number 6, he's exhorting, he's challenging Titus. He said, "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded." Now we can look over that because of the wording of the King James translation. Let me give it to you in the amplified rendering of that verse. "Urge the younger men to be self-restrained and to behave prudently, taking life seriously." And I think if we would do a study on that particular verse, we would understand that it's the responsibility of us dads, of we fathers and grandfathers, not just to be looking at our children or our grandchildren, but to find somebody else. God brings somebody into our pathway, and we need to be awake to recognize who that would be, to point them to the faithfulness of the Father, to be a man of respect in front of them and to them, that they would have an opportunity to change their story. Dads, it's a big calling. Men, it's a tremendous responsibility. Don't drop the ball. Don't strike out at the plate. It may be somebody you work with. It may be somebody that works for you. It may be somebody that you've just seen in passing. Don't strike out at the plate. Be someone that you look up to. Don't criticize somebody because you judge them from the outside. Realize that there's some secret story that has taken place and there's some kind of brokenness somewhere in their heart. We're finding it all the time around us in Martin County. And if you're outside of Martin County, I can assure you that it's in your county too. If we're going to see America survive, it's going to be that we're going to have to step up and remind ourselves that the home is a foundational point and a foundational part, and the fathers play a tremendous role. And so often, there's not a father that plays a good role in people's lives, and you and I have the opportunity to do our best to step in. It might be that they'll curse you. It might be that they'll scoff at you. There's somebody else that wants it. There's somebody else that looks for it. Be someone you can look up to, or be someone that you would look up to. Younger men to be self-restrained, urging younger men, taking life, exhorting people. That's what he's talking about to Titus. Let's do our part. Let's do our best. Let's lead the way. Dads, grandfathers, men, let's be men of God, godly minded, heavenly minded, pointing the way for somebody. We can be so self-centered and so focused upon our own little circle that we fail to realize that there's somebody else. Look, I need to quit. She told me a long time ago now that it was past my time. Let's go. My prayer is this morning that we will step up, that we will do our part. You don't have to go looking far. I promise you, you don't have to beg God to bring you somebody. They're there. They're there. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have of gathering this morning. I've tried to give what you've given me. Maybe it was broken in its presentation this morning. Would you allow the Holy Spirit to apply it better to our hearts? Help us to step up. Help us to not strike out. Oh, I know that we're frail. I know that we're limited. I know that we have our weaknesses. Help us to do our best to provide that which is needed for us to do our best. Give us that help that is needed, I pray. Be with us as we go our separate ways this morning. Bring us back for the evening service of worship and sacred music. Bless, I pray, each one, those that are here as well as those that are listening at different places. You know their needs today as well. It's in Jesus' name I pray. You're dismissed. God bless you.